meant to tell you this, Producer Pete. I don't know if you are into any type of exotic fish or seafood. I don't eat sushi, so I guess I'm not that exotic. I don't like it raw, but I do really enjoy different types of seafood. And my husband and I went for our Friday date night at a diner. So New Jersey is famous for diners. It's called the Garden State. It's famous for its gardens and its diners. And we went to a diner on Friday night that had an appetizer as a special. It was octopus, grilled octopus with bruschetta. Oh, wow. My gosh. It was so good. Now, I wouldn't have had it if it was fried, because I kind of feel like fried would just be more the crunchy and the crispy as opposed to the actual fish. At a fair this summer, we had fried gator tail. Ooh. And you really couldn't taste the gator because it was so heavily fried. It was deep fried. And so we decided to try it. Well, I talked him into it because, I love any kind of seafood. And it was amazing. It was grilled to perfection. It still had the little suction cups on it. So it was actually the tentacles that had been chopped up and grilled. And now I feel bad for the octopus. Oh, dear. I didn't really think about the fact that I'm going to assume he was dead by then.
Let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope, because that would be painful. But you know what they do to lobster? They put him into boiling water. Well, they put him into water, and they just consistently turn up the heat until the... Oh, it's terrible think about.
Very humane way.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Oh, it's been maybe 5+ years ago now. I was walking on the beach in South Carolina, a place that I had gone to take a week off in May and go to the beach. And I came across... Well, they're so scallops. No, not scallops. Oysters. And they were on the beach and they were, so they had washed up with the water. And I felt so badly for them because I felt like they were suffocating because they couldn't breathe. They weren't in the water, that I started picking them up and throwing them back in. Yeah, I felt badly for them. I think I probably rescued that day. I was a first responder to oysters, and I probably rescued that day a good 100 of them at least, because I felt so bad. They had all washed up, and I wanted the shell. The shell was so pretty, but I couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't leave them there to suffocate.
Yeah. When you really get into the deep deep parts of how
well, I was watching them die, Pete.
Yes.
No, I mean, I do believe in most cases that it's part of the circle of life. If animals are raised or farmed to be food, I mean, that's what they're for. That's their job in life. So I'm not one of those people that believes we shouldn't eat animals. I mean, there's a lot of people on this planet that need to eat, and that's a major source of nutrition and food and protein. And so I love cows, but there's a lot of cows that are raised for beef. That's what they're for. Anyway, I couldn't watch them. It was almost as though I could hear them gasping for breath.
Yeah.
So I started throwing them back in the ocean.
That's why I parachute out. That's it. No, look, I'm not a big fish. I don't eat. I'll have shrimp and some calamari. Although I had one of the best fish dishes was bacon scallops.
You don't eat salmon?
No. I should, but I don't.
Oh, it's so good for you.
Yeah,
so good for you. It's one of the healthiest meats, I guess we'll call it that, but it's one of the healthiest fish that you can eat is salmon.
Yeah, I got to venture down that road, but I don't. But the best seafood I had was bacon calamari at Ben Benson's in New York City during the Giants.
Bacon? Yeah, as in wrapped in bacon?
Wrapped in bacon.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. So for our wedding, now I didn't get any because this is what happens with the bride and groom.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the appetizers that we had, we did the taste test. You know, like we went and we did a whole taste test.
One of the best parts of
meal before. Yeah. So we did get to eat the meal. It was just 4 months beforehand. Bacon wrapped scallops.
Yep.
Oh, they were amazing. They were so good. Yeah, we couldn't wait to get more on our wedding night, but that it actually didn't happen.
You get one chance to eat at the wedding, and that takes by me 20 seconds, and then you pack everything up.
Yeah, we didn't. I mean, they brought us plates, but we had the issue with family members moving name cards around. I don't know if you ever heard that story. Yeah, no, it's bad. I just want to say, not my family, and neither one of our immediate families. It was a extended family member, and it created a major mess because she decided that she would pick up the card that said "Mother of the Bride" and move her somewhere else.
No, that's not the one you move.
No, of all, I probably wouldn't have noticed if it was anyone else. But the fact that my mother was not where she was supposed to be, oh goodness!
Now, how did you find that out? Did you find it out from your mother, or you found?
No,
it
no. I looked down the table that was next to me, and my mother was all the way at the far end,
ooh.
And that was not where she was supposed to be. The rest of the family was up near us at the head table, and so I couldn't figure out why she was down there. So I got up and I started asking questions and moved her back. And yeah, come to find out later, it was an extended family member on the other side who had taken it upon herself to move name cards because she didn't like where she was seated. So I can tell you this much. For the three weddings that we went to this summer, we were very careful to sit exactly where they put
us. Very proper, right in that spot. Oh, my. I'm surprised it didn't turn into a brawl. Did that person at least give you a good gift?
Huh. I don't think so. I don't think we got a gift.
Of course.
Yeah. No, and it's funny too because Christmas was right after that and it was the talk of the holidays.
Oh, that would definitely be the talk of every holiday.
On the other side. Yeah. I did tell that story though, and many of you have identified with me, which is kind of funny. I've gotten so many messages about that and how now when you go to weddings, you think of me and that whole situation. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Also, our show account is at Amy After Hours. Do you guys, I don't know if you're paying attention to this, but do you guys know that the final game at the Oakland Coliseum is Thursday? And at that point, I'm sure it will be overly emotional for the fans who have bought up every ticket. I mean, this is going to be an event that people will say, I was there when, I remember. And every single game of this franchise's existence of the Oakland Athletics has been played at the Coliseum. Don't quote me on the number of years, but it's more than a half a century that they have played. Now, the new owner bought the team 2005, maybe five,
yeah,
six.
About there.
John Fisher bought the team then, and he has been trying to get them a new stadium. I've never been to the Coliseum, but I have friends who work there, friends who've been there for other games, and they tell me it's a dump. I mean, the players themselves will say it's a dump. The NFL moved its football team, the Raiders, out of there because they wanted a football-only stadium. And for years, for decades, the Raiders and the A's were forced to share a stadium for a major chunk of the season. And so John Fisher recently penned a letter. This is after, I think, stabbing fans in the back and moving the team to Las Vegas where he felt like he was getting more money. Now, clearly, Major League Baseball wants a team in Vegas. Let's be fair about this. The owners want to tap into the money that's in Vegas. They want a marquee property in Vegas. And so they are all on board with the team moving to Vegas. They had to approve it. They approved it. I believe it was unanimous with the Board of Governors. And so it's not as though anyone's protesting inside the baseball fraternity, but the A's fans, and to a larger extent, Oakland sports fans, Bay Area fans, have been given the shaft yet again. And so here are a fans left after losing the Warriors, who were at Oracle and moved to San Francisco, then losing the Raiders, who moved to Las Vegas themselves. Now you've got the A's who have to take a sojourn to Sacramento. So at least they're in the Bay Area for a couple more years before their stadium is built in Vegas. It's on the southern end of the Vegas Strip. And I don't have any idea how they're going to shoehorn another stadium in there. If you've not been to Vegas, it was just my first trip in February for the Super Bowl. There will be five sports arenas or stadiums within a mile of each other at the southern end of the strip. It's insane. The traffic, now this was during Super Bowl week, so totally crazy. But you've got Allegiant Stadium that's right there at the near the Luxor and the MGM, right there at the bottom of the strip, the southern end. They took out the Tropicana, so they raised the Tropicana, and that's where they're building the new baseball stadium. I mean, it's maybe a half mile from Allegiant Stadium. And then you've got the arena where the Aces play.
T-Mobile.
And they've also, do they play at T-Mobile? T-Mobile is where the hockey team plays.
Sorry.
Right, so the Golden Knights play at T-Mobile. And then there's another arena, forgive me for not knowing the name of it, where the Aces play. And so you've got all these stadiums that are right there within a stone's throw of each other. And I don't know that everybody's on board with it. In fact, I keep hearing whispers that it may not go through. But John Fisher did pen a letter to fans. I guess you could say it's an apology, but it comes across as a Dear John letter, really. And this is earlier in the week. So right before they opened up their final home series in Oakland, 57 seasons, that's the number. Maybe trying to assuage fans, hoping that this final season have maybe calmed their anger and their outrage. So he writes in this letter, "We proposed and pursued 5 different locations in the Bay Area, and despite mutual and ongoing efforts to get a deal done for the Howard Terminal project, we came up short. I know there is great disappointment, even bitterness. Though I wish I could speak to each of you individually, I can tell you this from the heart, we tried. Staying in Oakland was our goal. It was our mission. We failed to achieve it. And for that, I am genuinely sorry." All right, so he writes his letter to fans. I would say that it's been received with mixed reviews, probably more cynicism and anger still than anything. And the A's are not going to the playoffs, of course. But, I mean, they had great success while the Coliseum was their home. 4 World Series titles, 17 division championships. This goes back to the 60s. Though, again, Fisher didn't buy the team until maybe 20 years ago. Now, here's the crux. The team has not been a winner, and for that reason, the fans have been reluctant to spend money on tickets. The team doesn't field a winner. Now, they were in first place in the AL West for a while when the division was wonky to start the season, but they've averaged just over 10,000 fans this season at the Coliseum. Again, the place is a dump. It needs upgrades, if nothing else. It needs to be renovated. It needs a facelift. But also, if you're a loyal A's fan, you don't want to put money in the pocket of the owner who is yanking them out of the home they've had for years and leaving the city altogether and moving to Sacramento, at least for now. The sellout crowd on Thursday is expected to be nearly 47,000 people. And I'm not sure if you saw this. Fans are getting nostalgic. I did put the video up, or I shared it on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. It's a grounds crew, a member of the grounds crew, a grounds crewman, I was going to say. It's a member of the grounds crew taking dirt from the track around the infield and putting it in water bottles for fans. So fans are handing him bottles and he's shoveling dirt from the field or from the ring around the field, putting it into water bottles for fans. And after one person did it, well, then many more wanted it as well. I can see one person has a plastic bag and they're holding it out for him to put dirt in. So yeah, sending fans home with dirt from the Coliseum. One person's got his beer cup. It's all coming to an end. My friend Jessica Kleinschmidt, she is part of the A's coverage on NBC Sports Bay Area, NBC Sports, and I think it's NBC Sports Bay Area. Yes. Anyway, she's part of the A's coverage. She does a lot of interviews. She does in-house stuff. Anyway, she will be joining us. I'm hoping on Thursday night because I want the emotion and the scene set. But if not, then we'll get to her very soon because she's willing to talk about it. And there's a lot of uncertainty about employees that work for the A's and what happens next year and who they're keeping and who they're not. It's all coming to an end. And I'm sure that it brings up and stirs up that emotion, the feelings of abandonment for fans who have lost their teams recently. And so she's a multimedia reporter, pre- and post-game host on their radio network, and has been pretty emotional herself And so she's getting ready to cover their final game. And a lot of people want to be there. There's a lot of former A's who have chosen to return to say goodbye to the Coliseum. I saw this post from Bob Nightingale. Six security guards chasing a man with a stolen stadium seat outside the Oakland Coliseum. This is kind of funny. As a response, do you know who, quote, tweeted it and said, sorry, my bad?
That could be many people.
Jose Canseco. He, quote, tweets and said, sorry, my bad. So there were actually 35,000 people at the Coliseum on Wednesday night, and they're expecting a packed house coming up on Thursday night. And yeah, it's a final opportunity for people to say goodbye to the Coliseum. And that's the crazy part, right? Is that they've had all year, but now that it's the end, and they did lose to Texas on Wednesday night, but now that it's the end, people are getting nostalgic, waxing nostalgic, and wanting one last opportunity. But yeah, there were many opportunities and many seats that you could have purchased. You could have purchased an entire section for a dirt cheap if that's what you wanted over the course of this season. So it's a sad ending, but I'm glad that fans will be there to support the team. And obviously, a lot of these guys have not been with the team long term. The roster's turned over so many times. But yeah, a pretty poignant moment for Oakland sports fans who are losing yet another team. So I'm wondering if you guys are going to follow the A's with this path that they're on, going first to Sacramento and then to Las Vegas, if that's in fact what happens. Or are you done supporting them altogether? It's an interesting question. And for those of you who've lost teams in the past, so I can think of recent past. How about when the St. Louis Rams moved to Los Angeles? That wasn't too long ago, though the years do go faster and faster. The Oklahoma City Thunder were previously the Seattle Supersonics.
Chargers.
The Los Angeles Chargers leaving San Diego. That's rough because now all they have left is the Padres. Though the Padres are plenty to keep them busy right now and are certainly on a tear. But there are many teams that have moved. The Montreal Expos end up as the Washington Nationals. We know even more recently in hockey, the Arizona Coyotes are moving to Utah. And what are they called? The Utah Hockey Club or something along those lines?
I thought that's what they're going to be early on. But they were looking at names, but I don't think that. I think they picked one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I think it's the Utah Hockey Club. Because I remember thinking, why is it so nondescript? You're not a... It is. It's the Utah Hockey Club. You're not a soccer team. That's what soccer teams do, but maybe they want to, I don't know, maybe they want to hop on the soccer craze. Expansion team based in Salt Lake, except that it's not an expansion team. It's relocating.
I don't think it took the history.
Well, maybe it's not relocating because they're shutting down the Coyotes, right? And they're
But I thought I heard that the Coyotes can come back with another owner the history.
So I guess it is. See, I don't like the idea of calling it an expansion team, where I guess it's sort of an expansion team, but not really.
No,
they're moving to Utah. Utah's getting a team. And yes, the Coyotes can get one down the road. But calling it an expansion team is, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting the same personnel. They're getting all personnel. They don't have to do the whole organization. It's the old personnel. Well, maybe not all of them, but...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think all of them.
The rosters are going over there, so it's not an expansion team. As far as I'm concerned, I'm sure you too.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm even thinking back to, and this happened when, obviously, we were a lot younger, all of us, but when the Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee to become the Titans. And I mean, I have run into many Texans who are still upset over the fact that they lost their team, even though they end up getting the Texans. I meant Texans like residents of the state, not Texans residents of the football team. That sounded funny. So yeah, I'd love to hear from you. If you have lost a team and you want to weigh in, offer some commiseration for Oakland fans who are going through it again. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Yeah, as you think about the A's moving for now to San Francisco, how does that make you feel if you've lost a team in the recent past? Good to have you with us, putting Wednesday in the rearview mirror. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Missy Walkesh finds Anthony Valdi on the way. Langley throws one fair down the left field line in the corner going to the wall. Butler's around third to score. Langley will cruise into second with a double, and the A's have tied it up at 1-1.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Look, they score runs, they get fans. And actually, though they have lost four of their last five, if I remember correctly, they walked off against the Rangers a couple nights ago, not Wednesday night, Tuesday night, I believe it was. They got a winning hit in the ninth inning from Jacob Wilson. How cool is that? So fans get a moment, and I'm hoping that they'll have some special moments coming up on Thursday, though I can imagine if John Fisher is sighted anywhere in the stadium, there will be rousing boos. Remember, was it last year, when the A's organized a get-together and sold thousands of tickets for a game in order to show solidarity and try to force Fisher to sell the team. Remember, there were signs, there was chanting. They sold out the Coliseum on one particular night to try to force his hand. I'm not sure how they thought it was going to work, but maybe just to put pressure on him to show that they really would show up if there was a product worth paying for. And I can understand the dilemma. I wouldn't want to shell out money to put in an owner's pocket who is planning on moving the team, who doesn't have me in mind, instead is looking for something new and flashy and fresh and different fans. So I would feel the same way. Not to mention, it's not always been a winning product. Certainly not the last couple of years. I don't think they made the playoffs for four or five years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Bear is listening in Dallas. Bear, welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I got a question for you, and I just want to like break this down and kind of feel simple about it, because I'm in a non-taxable state, which is kind of a little bit like Nevada. And I assume you've been to the Coliseum for a ball game. Have you not?
I've not been there, no.
Okay.
I know it's a dump. I know it's awful.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's a horrible venue.
I got you.
From a ball player's perspective, it's not attractive. The seating from a fan's perspective, it's not attractive, and that's why it doesn't draw. And it's also in the wrong part of the whole city, which is not a great city to begin with. Now let's take that and break down the tax consequence of being in California versus being across the street in Nevada. He's going to save, I don't know, and I haven't done the math because I'm driving, but he's going to save 18 or 17% off of net earnings by being across the street, being in California. And he's going to be in Las Vegas versus being in Oakland. And I know you're beating him up. And look, I love the old idea of the A's and Vita Blue and Catfish Hunter and Joe Rudy getting hit by the pitch. And I remember these things. Okay? But and I'm not going to get into the Bash Brothers and all the greatness that happened in the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
But history is great from a ball perspective, but business perspective, as an owner, he's looking at not being able to pay people because of the tax consequence relative to the street. And, you know, I hate to see the A's move from Oakland, but the venue is horrible.
Agreed. And I'm not saying they should have stayed there. My issue with him is that I think he was disingenuous. As you point out, he has many incentives and many reasons to get out of the Bay Area, to leave Oakland. He was looking for a place to go. He was looking for a way to move the team. Baseball wanted him to move the team to Vegas because right now it's the flashy new destination for all sports teams and venues, and there's a lot of money to be made there, not to mention a brand new stadium. So I certainly understand why he wanted to move. I get it. And I don't relish the idea for players either of calling that place home. I mean, it's not a destination where free agents would want to show up. My whole point is that he was real disingenuous about it. And there's been a lot of, people in the town, the city, in local government who have disputed what he said about how hard he tried or if he tried to actually keep the team there or find funding for a new stadium, and that in his business dealings with the municipality, he was really disingenuous and actually never really wanted to find a way to build a new stadium. He wanted the city to pay for the whole thing. That was really his bottom line.
Truly agree with you about his genuality and how he's feeling about things, but his venue selection from going to Vegas versus staying in Oakland, I think he missed the wrong market. If I'm a guy buying a baseball team and I'm moving a baseball team, I don't know if that's the market that I go to. I think there's better markets that he should have selected, and that's a whole nother debate and conversation that we can have. But, yeah, his genuality. But the other thing is he didn't have – it's kind of like when Jerry wanted to have Dallas moved into downtown, and Dallas said, no, we don't want you in downtown, and then he moved to Arlington next to the baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a, yeah, well, here's where I'm going to go, and so now we have Jerry World. Well, that could have been in downtown Dallas, like the Astros have their ball field right off of downtown in Houston. And so Fisher had a whole lot of options, and I think personally he picked the wrong venue and the wrong city. I think there was other – I mean, let's break it down. When you break down GDP in the world, there's California and then there's Texas. And South Texas doesn't have a baseball team. And I think he probably should have put it in between San Antonio and Austin and had a field day with it, because the market there is, 14 million people that he could have tapped into from a baseball perspective. And he didn't
even
think about that.
Well, maybe baseball didn't want him there, though. I mean, the baseball owners have to approve where you're moving your team.
Well, you got what, 1.5 million people? I haven't looked at the population in Vegas and versus Austin or San Antonio, but I know it's a whole lot smaller.
Well, Nashville was another debate. Nashville was another option that was tossed around too. So
yeah, and there's a whole other debates we could have, right? I mean, what's wrong with the triangle in Carolina as well? There's a whole lot of places that like to have ball teams, but the whole bottom line is I don't think Oakland rolled out the carpet for him in California with the tax consequence to keep him there. And I think that's what's sad about the whole deal. And yeah, tomorrow is a day game. It's not a night game, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a day game. Tonight was the last night game in the Oakland Coliseum. And tomorrow the game goes off Dallas time at like 2:30, I think. I don't know what time it is there. So it's like, what, noon? And they're going to have
45,000.
Time in our life. And we need to remember, this is a day. This is Oakland. This is the A's place. And a lot's gone on there. And we need to appreciate this from a sports perspective, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Of course, which is why I'm talking about it.
Thanks, Bear. Talking to you in the middle of the night. Good night.
I appreciate your phone call. The game is actually a 12:37 local time start. So 12:37 California time with the final one there at the Oakland Coliseum. All right, we'll take more calls, 855-212-4227. I just saw this post on our Facebook page from Ben. Listening on Wednesday night, what about the Browns? Meaning the Browns moving out of Cleveland. And to make it worse, Baltimore won a Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, I can imagine that there's some pain associated with that. Think about the St. Louis Rams. Now, they had a couple Super Bowls in there. Well, they had the one Super Bowl win. They went to another one, right? But they saw the Rams in Los Angeles win a Super Bowl right after moving to SoFi. Not to mention SoFi got to host a Super Bowl because that's what the NFL does. So yes, I'd love to hear from you at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. And if you haven't seen that video of the grounds crew member who is putting dirt into various bottles and bags and cups for Oakland A's fans, you can check it out on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
All right, and with the Chargers getting set for a huge divisional game with the Chiefs Sunday, and they know Derwin James won't be there, suspended for that one, but the burning question, would Justin Herbert be able to go with that sprained ankle?
I don't know. It's early. I'm going to do everything I can to play as long as we keep moving in the right direction, weight room, treatment. You know, that's always the goal. At this point last week, I didn't know either. And so it's one of those things that you take as many reps as you can, do what you can, and then see where it ends up.
Deshaun Watson and the Browns have taken their lumps in the early part of the season. Plenty of offensive issues, especially in the passing game. So is Watson going to ask for more design runs for himself?
No. I'm not going in there to ask them for more design runs. So, no.
Just knowing you're going to run with the ball.
I'm not trying. If I don't have to run, I'm not going to run. So I'm not trying to take any hits.
Checking baseball with the White Sox refused to go down without a fight.
Montani with a good rip. This one's going to fall. Fong is rounding third. Coming home. And walk it off. And walk it off. White Sox with a win in the 10th. Take that, history.
They remain at 120 losses as the White Sox walked it off on the Angels 4-3-10. Call courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. Rest of your scores, Dodgers wins to the Padres 4-3, pushed their division lead up to 3. Tigers still hot, dumped the Rays 7-1. Royals blanked the Nationals 3-0. So those two remain tied for the final two wild cards. Twins ripped the Marlins 8-3, holding two games back. Mariners remain 2.5 back. They took out the Astros 8-1. Diamondbacks rolled the Giants 8-2, now tied with the Mets for the final two wild cards in the NL. Braves are one game back. Phillies overpowered the Cubs 9-6. Guardians topped the Reds 5-2. Pirates dealt the Brewers 2-1. Rangers 5, A's 1. Orioles outscored the Yankees 9-7. Blue Jays topped the Red Sox 6-1. And the Cardinals handled the Rockies 5-2. Mets and Braves rained out for Wednesday and Thursday. One game separating these two and the Diamondbacks in the wild card race. They'll play a doubleheader Monday if necessary for the playoffs. College football, UNLV dealt a blow. They lost quarterback Matthew Sluka. Announced he's leaving the team over an NIL dispute. In WNBA playoffs, the Sun dismissed the Fever and Caitlin Clark 87-81 win the series in two. Lynx roll the Mercury 101-88 win that series as well. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Crazy out here, you know, sold out. And tonight you saw the noise and the banging of the drums. This is what I'm used to, coming here. And so it's a fun environment.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bruce Bochy, a baseball stalwart, a legend. The number of times he's been there at the Oakland Coliseum. There will certainly be many celebrities, many former players, coaches, managers, baseball officials. I would say everybody will have something to say about their last experience or maybe their first experience at the Oakland Coliseum. I've even seen a lot of media people weighing in about the end of the A's tenure in Oakland. And there is a twinge of sadness. I understand why the Coliseum was not a viable option anymore and probably shouldn't have been a viable option to this point. It needed a facelift at the very least. And the city could never come to an agreement where they would put the money into it. Now, is it the most important thing? No. But baseball desperately wanted a team in Las Vegas and essentially was going to take that option regardless of whatever else was presented to John Fisher, to ownership of the A's. And so I do believe that the apology from John Fisher, while it may have been sincere at some point, the last couple of years, no. What the team and what baseball most wanted, or I should say not the team, what ownership and baseball most wanted was to put this team in a shiny new stadium in Las Vegas. And they're getting their wish after a couple years in Sacramento. And I know there are many sports fans out there who can identify with how this feels in the recent past, but going back decades as well. Moving teams, it's not a victimless crime. And yes, I'm using my air quotations. People always get hurt when this happens. And you're rewarding your faithful with, in some cases, a knife to the back. In other cases, a broken heart. Sometimes both. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. And also on our Facebook page named after the show. If you didn't go back and look at the threads, I did answer a bunch of your questions from Ask Amy Anything. I've heard from some of you who were so thrilled that your question was posed by producer Pete. We're working on that. We're trying to cram in more questions. Sometimes I get long-winded in my answers, though. Let's talk to Antonio, who's in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good day, Amy.
Hey.
I want to comment on the Oakland A's situation.
Okay.
Now, Oakland is a similar city to Baltimore. And what I mean by that is it's very close to a bigger financial city in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
like Baltimore is to Washington.
To D.C., yep.
Right. It's like the only two, you know, places like that in the country where you have two, you know, mid-sized cities right near each other. And in the 70s, the Baltimore Bullets moved to Washington and became the Washington Bullets, which is now, you know, the Washington Wizards.
Mm.
And everyone knows what happened with Baltimore and the Colts. So it's kind of similar where a city gets swallowed up by a neighboring city. I will give Baltimore credit. You know, we got another football team in the Browns, and we still have the Orioles. But it's kind of a similar situation as the Oakland and what they had. You know, I was 13 when the coach left, and it was heartbreaking. I mean, team wasn't great, but it was still someone, you know, to follow as a kid. And,
yep.
You know, it took 12 years for us to get another team when the Browns came to Baltimore.
Well, and how did you feel about that? Did that repair your broken heart?
Yes, it repaired it, because what was going on here, the owner of the Washington Redskins, Jack Kent Cook, when it came time for expansion, was convincing the owners that there was no need to put another team here between Philadelphia and Washington, because all the Baltimore fans were Redskins fans, which wasn't true.
Right.
And it kind of hurt us or whatever. I was, you know, I wanted a team by any means necessary. I feel sorry for Cleveland, but they got a team again. Stop crying. Get over that.
Oh, dear.
But it was a hurtful feeling. And like I said, the cities, when you have two cities like that close to each other, San Francisco, Oakland, Baltimore, Washington, someone runs the risk of getting swallowed up by the bigger, quote-unquote, market.
That's true. It is true.
I just wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, I agree. And I appreciate that, because Baltimore is its own entity and clearly has its own distinct sports fans. And so that's a great point. Baltimore got shafted twice. Thank you, Antonio. 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us also online at A-Law Radio. So, yes, it will be interesting to see the spectacle, to hear the reaction with a sold-out crowd on Thursday, and it's well before the NFL kicks off. I have no doubt that MLB Network will carry at least part of the game, if it's not their marquee game. And so I do intend to make sure I go back. Now, I will be sleeping when the game starts. And oh my gosh, Pete, rough day of sleeping at my house. I wish I could blame the globe light, the floodlight on the neighbor's garage, but it wasn't that, because I was sleeping during the daytime. In fact, it was going to be a perfect day for sleeping because it was cloudy, it was cool, and there was some rain. But we have an 8x10 room getting built on the back of our house. So our bedroom is on the back of the house. It's directly above, almost directly above where the room is going. Here's the part that they were working on yesterday. They're pouring concrete, but they're also they're putting in the footprint. So they're the anchors, the footers, I guess they're called. But they're doing it with cinder blocks. And in order to make the cinder blocks fit, so they do a layer of concrete, then cinder blocks, and they pour the concrete into the middle. Don't ask me why they can't cut them somewhere else. No, I'm just kidding. I know why. They were cutting cinder blocks with a power saw in our backyard. And so once I heard that, I slept pretty well for, I would say, the first few hours. But around lunchtime, I was abruptly awakened by these contractors who were doing the power saws. And it was so loud. And it continued for the next 4 hours. So I tried. I put something over my ear, you know, shove the other ear to the pillow, put something over my ear. I tossed and turned. It was pretty rough. So that was frustrating. And so between the bright light that is shining, I tried to take a nap on Wednesday early evening, but the light is so bright. So the bright light that's shining, we have a blanket, we have curtains, we have blinds. It's still the light. You wait 5 minutes and I can see everything in our room. And we've waited patiently to hear back from the neighbor. So far, nothing, no changes. He did say he was busy on Monday and that he would get back to us, but nothing. And so we're going back to his house on Thursday to knock on the door and say, hey, have you considered anything else? I do appreciate a bunch of you have sent me suggestions online, either Facebook or Twix. And a couple of them actually appeal to us that we're going to try. One of them is using spray paint on the side of the light bulb. Well, it's a globe. The side of the globe that faces our house. The issue, though, is that we're kind of at an angle from the garage. So the light coming from the front and the light coming from the side are both spilling into our backyard and into the back of our house, the rooms in the back of our house. He says there's no baffle, there's no cover, but I'm sure that my husband can jerry-rig something. We thought of, you know, potentially doing spray paint, like I said, or some type of a barrier that would keep the light on his side. But so far, he's taken no steps. And coming up this weekend, Saturday morning, I have to be up really early because I have a half marathon. It's actually in Jersey City, New Jersey, right across from the Statue of Liberty and Lower Manhattan. It's the one I ran last year in a torrential rainstorm. It was actually a tropical storm that I ran last year. Anyway, I'm all excited. I'm going to make good on last year. But the thing is, if I don't sleep on Friday night, Saturday could be painful. That's what happened last week. I think I only slept like a handful of hours. I was awake a bunch because of this stupid light. And so I'm getting anxious about it because he hasn't done anything. He hasn't fixed it. My husband keeps offering to pull out a BB gun and just shoot out the light.
Might have to.
Oh, dear. We might get arrested. Halfway through, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.